This morning we'll be reading the Word of God as we find that in the letter to the Ephesians, chapter 5, in connection with the focus, which is going to be verse 21. We'll read the surrounding context. It's been part of a series that I've done in Vernon where we've gone through the descriptors here as to what it means to be filled by the Spirit. We got to the end with verse 21, but as I will get into just before we get into the sermon, verse 21 does also, is kind of like a hinge verse. It fits very well with what goes before, and also kind of supplies the theme, like what comes further or beyond it. So we'll read some of the further context this morning to get a sense of where the rest of the passage is going. So we'll focus this morning on what it means for the household of God, for the church, to submit to one another in the fear of God. So Ephesians chapter 5, starting at verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he may sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. And from there the text continues to also address slaves and their owners, which continues the same principles as we find in verse 21, where we get a sense of where this passage is going. So the focus this morning is going to be that verse 21, submitting to one another in the fear of God. And as I said, it's kind of a hinge verse. It goes back, and this is important for us this morning, especially as, you know, in Vernon, we've gone through all of these verses preceding, verse 15 through 21. But if you look at it, it does all tie back to what it means to be filled with the Spirit in verse 18. And from what does it mean, and what does it look like to be filled with the Spirit? Well, it then follows, there's a number of verbs, another number of actions that are mentioned. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then fifthly, submitting to one another in the fear of God. And it's important as we approach this that this will be drawn out also this morning, and we remember that this is the work of fruit of the Spirit in us. Dearly loved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, I don't know what comes to your mind when I say a life filled with the Spirit, but I know that in these couple years ago too, I got that wonderful question. And what does this look like? And I had kind of gone from that question, this was a younger member in the church, to thinking like, well, so often a life filled with by the Spirit is in our mind characterized by the exceptional, the supernatural, maybe the gift, especially in Pentecostal circles or charismatic circles, that idea that it is made evident, maybe speaking in tongues, maybe in extraordinary gifts, miracles, things like that. What I hope you may appreciate this morning, that as we've gone through these verses, as I highlighted those five verbs of that evidence of what it means to be filled by the Spirit, it is extraordinary stuff, but of a very different quality than what we may expect or think of. Right, that you speak to one another in an outbuilding way with psalms and spiritual songs, using the words of God to encourage one another, sing together, that you are able to be thankful, which we probably realize when we think about it, yeah, that's an incredible work of the Holy Spirit, because we are often so ungrateful, take things for granted, can't be satisfied. And then lastly, one that we're looking at this morning, is that it shows itself in submitting to one another in the fear of God. And I'm sure this one is also a challenging one. And that's why there's great comfort to also consider that, yes, this is a work of the Holy Spirit. This morning, as we start to get into this text, into this verse, I want you to think of that wonderful picture that we have in these verses here, that you, as a Christian, as a believer, are filled with the Spirit, and kind of that picture of like, well, then what? Where does it then go? How are you then able to fill those people around you? You may be empty in many different ways. Will you encourage them, support them, use your gifts, your words, your actions, to build up the church as you have been filled? How may you look after those people around you? If we're able to do that, we may see that, yes, this verse this morning is going to be a challenge, but also comes with that wonderful, rich picture of a fullness in the Spirit, not just for ourselves, but for the church, for the body of Christ. And so we'll consider that this morning under this theme, filled by the Spirit, to submit to one another. And as we do so, we have to consider then what the Spirit has to tell us about submitting to one another in the fear of God. And perhaps the first natural question is then, okay, but what is it then talking about? What is submission? What does it look like? We may talk about it, but what do we picture? And many have pointed out that the Greek word in itself can often be used or kind of have that background of under orders or under command. And being able to line up under someone's authority. And so if you're thinking in military terms, you can picture in those days maybe a soldier, Roman soldier, may have a spear, sword, and a shield right in his left arm, and they're all lined up in formation. And of course, what every soldier is doing is they're going to be listening and ready to obey the commands that are coming to them, because as they join the army, as they join the military, they are now put under the command of someone. And there's very clear chain of command in that case. Because when you become a soldier, you become part of this larger unit, a regiment, a cohort. As a soldier, you put yourself in line under authority. And knowing that later on, kids, you probably know this, later on in the letter to the Ephesians, is going to talk about that spiritual warfare, the kind of armor that we receive as we face that spiritual war. We can have appreciation for that helpful picture also that comes to mind with this language. And even when it comes to the question of, like, okay, yes, chain of command, soldier, very clear. how then can we submit to one another? Actually, maybe also be a helpful picture to apply there. Because as soon as you become a soldier and you become part of something greater, you know, any soldier wants to truly do the best that he can. As a professional, he's going to have to watch the back of his neighbor or of his brother right next to him. So if he doesn't do that, well, the regiment, the corps, is only as strong as the weakest link. If you want to do your job well, if you want to take this calling seriously, you would have to consider who's right beside you or in front of you. You have to watch their back. Encourage them, train with them, improve them. Because you may just need it in the future. You can't just consider yourself. You have to be mindful of the people to whom you belong and on whom you depend. And any good commander will, of course, instill that within his regiment. You can't be selfish. You can't just go for your own glory. You have to consider this regiment. You have to consider all of them under my command. Because an army where every man fights for himself doesn't stand a chance against an army where they fight all as one man. And doesn't that form then a very solid starting point for understanding what and practically what submission may look like? But very basically, very minimally, it is a sense of being mindful of those who are around you. Because how often do we not end up not helping the people around us? Maybe hurting them, damaging, just because we weren't mindful, we weren't thoughtful. You know, you said things so quickly because you weren't mindful actually how they would be received by the person you were talking to. Or by the person that was standing there listening. You didn't mean anything by that thoughtless comment, but man, it sure struck someone. Just because you didn't take time to consider how it would be received. Or maybe it's thoughtless actions. You're like, well, maybe I just won't show up this week. And it just happens to be the week that it's going to cause so much more work for the others. You're mindful about what they were dealing with or how they would have to handle the situation. So you never thought to offer help. You never thought to offer assistance. Or maybe just check in on them that week. We say that that's the very minimal, the very foundation of what maybe submission, what submission would look like, but even that isn't that already a challenge, a high bar, because we're so often focused on our own concerns and our own life that we just don't have the mental space, we just don't want to make the effort to be thoughtful of the people around us. And as we say that, we realize that yes, often it may just be thoughtlessness, but when we look a little bit deeper, we know that it's not always the case. The fact that we're so focused on ourselves and about what we want and what we need, that we may be thoughtless, is also a symptom of a deeper problem. At the heart, each one of us, as Scripture so clearly teaches us, we are selfish. That we, as sinners, are profoundly turned inward. So that it does take effort to consider the people around us, to love our neighbor. And that when we do consider them, it may even be more difficult to be like, yes, I know I could do this. I know that it would be beneficial, but I just don't want to. It may be difficult to say, oh, no, don't say that. Well, bite my tongue. Hold back. It may be difficult to change our actions to not just benefit ourselves, but yes, to help your brother, to help your sister. Yes, especially when that is inconvenient or you know it's just going to be difficult for you. And yet when we think scripturally, we see that that is what submission entails. This is part of that refrain found throughout the New Testament, to consider others above yourself, so that you set yourself in line, yes, under that great commander, under that great King, Lord Jesus, but also as you come to know him also under your brother and sister. So that very realistically, submission means the depth to your pride and your arrogance. Because it's very easy, because of our selfish nature, for each one of us, also within the church, to find reasons, yes, maybe even secretly, but to find reasons that we are actually better than the other people around us. Whether because we're smarter, whether because we're more accomplished, whether because we work harder and contribute more, or we think we're actually holier, or more humble, or just more religious, whatever it may be, so that we think, well, others should actually first be considering me. And yes, I know everyone's opinion matters, but actually mine does matter a little bit more. And so does my agenda. So does my vision of what the church should do. But when we're called to submit, we're called to get rid of all of those thoughts. We're called to submit by being filled by the Spirit. We instead see so clearly the truth about ourselves, that we are hopeless and lost on our own. And whatever it is that may make it seem like we are better than our brother or sister beside us, that's not us. That is a gift of God. That's why I so stressed this morning too, that we read this verse in its context. Just as true thanksgiving can be a struggle, but it also means it is a work of the Spirit. So this humility that leads to submission to one another is a work of the Spirit. And in all honesty, this morning we are going to follow this passage and look at this verse and its reason for submitting, saying, you know, in the fear of God, or as other translation may have it, in the fear of Christ. But don't overlook the Holy Spirit's work in exactly the life of the church and exactly on this point. So if this morning we instead, you know, had read all of the letters of the Ephesians, we would have noted that a very pretty strong pattern, as we've noted, like every time the Holy Spirit was mentioned, almost all the times. For example, back in chapter 2, it says there that in verse 19 and 22 that all believers are members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple of the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by the Spirit. A wonderful, rich picture of this, of now a temple, not made of brick and mortar, but actually of human beings, people, believers, brought together as the family, the household of God, in which the Spirit lives, which the Spirit fills. I think of these Old Testament passages. You know, they build a tabernacle, they build a temple. What's the very next thing that happens? Well, at that worship service, at its inaugural in worship service, the Spirit descends upon it. God's glory fills it. And today, that's in the church. That's in you and me as we gather together as believers. This is why when you read on in chapter 4, where our new life is discussed, it can say, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And then next verse, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And what we learn in this letter is that the Spirit has made the church, the members that are gathered together, the family of God, He fills the church and lives in it and continues to build it up. That is also why it can be so strongly saying, don't use words that will break down the church. Because you're working against the Spirit. Who's building it up? Yes, it can use that language of, you will grieve Him. You'll grieve Him. As you break down brothers and sisters, as you break down the communion of saints, exactly what His project is, exactly what He is working on. That's the negative side. Positively, this morning I also considered this. I'm not the pastor here, so I don't know all of you, but I come here often enough to know you well enough. Many of you have a genuine care for this church, for the members of this family, of this household of God. And also realizing that that is what gives the Spirit joy. As much as you may be grieved by all the times that we pray to town, that He may be rejoicing every time there is that genuine concern and a genuine love and submission to one another. Yes, even if you're a brother and sister here and you're like, I don't think anyone ever notices what I do. The Spirit does. Yes, very much working through you to build up the church. And he sees his presence bearing fruit within the church. You know, consider another wonderful passage of the fruit of the Spirit, that is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I'm not going to work it out this morning, but maybe to go home or this week, think about it. Think about the fruit of the Spirit and how each one of them, in their own way, is a picture of what it means to submit to one another. To be mindful of your brother and sister. Just even deny yourself. And to live humbly. And when we strive for these virtues individually or together, the church is built up and we can say truly, this is the household of God. This is where he dwells by his Spirit. We still have to answer one more question this morning. It's that important one. The why. Why would you do this? What do you keep in mind as you live this life? Why consider your brother or sister, love yourself, why submit to them? And already I've touched on a couple of different points, right? You may think of it like, well, it's necessary for an army to survive, to work together. So our spiritual survival depends on it. You can think of that wonderful language in Scripture about the body and how it's wonderful. You may be part of something greater and wonderful, the body of Christ. We may say it's good, it's virtuous, it's pleasing to the Spirit. It's all true. But this verse answers the why question by giving the reason in the fear of God. As I say, actually, other translations will have out of reverence for Christ, which I prefer, because it is a wonderful New Testament theme coming through. Just as you may read chapter 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord. I often think of the Lord Jesus Christ who's come through in this whole letter to the Ephesians. Like, that's not how you've come to know Christ in chapter 4. All of this, that this new life is manifest, is characterized by the life of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And what this verse is getting at, other translations may talk about reverence, but this verse this morning, as it talks about fear, is right on. That sense of deep, deep respect and reverence of true fear. Just like in the Old Testament, it may talk about that wisdom is, well, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. So in the New Testament, the beginning of our life may live is to live in fear of Christ. We have lined ourselves up under a commander, under an authority that isn't the people around us, that isn't even the leadership within the church. It is Lord Jesus Christ who is the Lord of our life, and that colors and then motivates everything we do. Each one of us, as we believe in Jesus, have come under his lordship with that supreme fear and reverence for him. That means that as we are the church, as we are brothers and sisters with one another, this isn't something that we just happen to agree to. This isn't something that we just do because, hey, I would love to see more church people in this society, so I better contribute. No, it's not even the case that as you think about submitting to others that you do so because, well, you know what, I'd love for other people to look after me. And all that may go through our heads, that's not our starting point. Instead, it is about who Christ is in your life and in light of who he is and what he has done. Do you have that utmost reverence, that utmost fear for him? And that you live in light of his presence. That it has that impact, that constant influence on your life. But in everything you may say, I defer to Christ because he is my Lord. He has bought me with his precious blood, and I belong to him. And that as you go through life, his presence walking before him is always on your mind. That you may live life with that sense that yes, you are one who walks before him. Yes, you are one who will one day stand before him. And understand this, that then as you stand before him, this isn't the fear that is of judgment. We likely all know there's a different kind of fear, right? The fear of love. If you love someone so deeply, and you know that you could hurt them so deeply, you fear that you would be able to do so, or that you, through your own stupidity, whatever it may be, that you would actually hurt them. You may be even afraid of that. And so consider this morning that as you live before this Lord, before our Lord Jesus Christ, you're able to stand before Him and confess that, well, I was never mindful of the needs of my brother and sister. You haven't seen the need to put them before your own. Don't you think you'll be full of shame of your puny pride when you're before Jesus, who is so exalted? And yet, what does He do? He bears your likeness. Humbled Himself, take on the form of a servant to, yes, to even wash His disciples' feet, yes, to even go to the cross. Don't you think that as you would imagine to stand before Him, that you would be overwhelmed by just how ignorant you were? Because you couldn't be mindful or thoughtful or even consider what others may need or how they would perceive things or understand things. When you're standing in front of a Savior who crossed heaven and earth to dwell among men who entered time so that He may truly know us and may know our need and know our struggles, so to be the best high priest who now intercedes for you. Not if we just considered this morning that we'd stand before Him, that we'd feel so small that we just, in those times, that we couldn't be bothered to deny ourselves when it was could have been such a blessing. And our Savior Himself denied Himself the very death on the cross to save you. To have that fear of Christ is to have the impression of all that He is and all that He has done on our hearts to guide how we live today, to guide then also how we are the church and His body. And yes, it's important to consider all of that this morning, but it still isn't a complete picture. Otherwise, I can be pretty sure I know what will happen. You know, we discussed this verse this morning, submitting to one another in fear of God, submitting one another out of the fear of Christ. We maybe end here and think like, oh yes, we're so fall so short, we're such a disappointment, and if we ever have to face Christ, we will be so ashamed of our failings, and what a struggle it is to live as the church and to live as a Christian community. And maybe we'll say like, we've got to do better, and guiltily we'll try to do our best. You see, when we live before our Savior, when we live in true fear of Him, we may feel ashamed or overwhelmed or like this small. But I also realized this morning that that is not our Savior's doing. It's not when we come to Him in faith and in repentance and truly revering Him for all that He is and what He has done as that one complete Savior. So what is that other refrain, that other theme throughout the New Testament, if it's not that God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble? God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble as He lifts up those who are lowly and bowed down. We know He does so as we have seen in Jesus Christ, as He has gone down into the depths of the grave, the death for us, submitting Himself, and yet risen to life. To glory. Yes, one day will be risen and for everyone to see who He is, the Lord. So that then we may know that what He did in that life of submission, that we may face Him humbly, but with joy, but with confidence, but in faith, realizing in that great position that He has already raised us up to today. The very fact that there is a church, that He has gathered in those who are foreigners, those who are strangers, who are aliens, alienated from God, to make them His family, to make them His household. He's raising us up. And we who are so often empty, We who are poor, poor in spirit, poor in so many other ways, be filled with the Spirit. As you consider that, you realize that He doesn't just give us motivation to submit to one another, but He even gives us the reason to do so with joy and with love. Amen. Let's pray. Almighty God and Father, we thank You that we may come before You this morning. And Father, we pray that we may not grieve Your Spirit, but that instead we may receive that wonderful assurance, as we read in Romans 5, that the Spirit does not that Your promises and Your love does not disappoint us, because Your very own love has been poured out into our hearts in Your Spirit. And that also as we consider what it means to live for You in that wonderful new life, we realize that we do so again by Your Spirit, by Your power, with that wonderful Counselor and Advocate sent by Christ. And would You give us eyes to see by faith truly what the Church is, what it means to be the body, the communion of Christ. That You would teach us and instruct us and guide us as we seek to humble ourselves in the Church, to consider one another, to put to death pride and arrogance, to put to death our selfishness, so that we truly would be able to serve You better, that we may glory. And as much as we are humbled, yet You raise us up. The great privileges that we have received. And we thank You for this day, that we may gather here in freedom, that we may enjoy these blessings. So bless us in our fellowship after the service. Bless us in the fellowship that continues in the second service. That in all of it, Father, Your Spirit would be near to us and would fill us. So that also this household of God may be that wonderful dwelling of the Spirit. And Father, would You then also, as You work that in our hearts, that all of this may be a blessing to our marriages, our husbands and wives, continue to also follow Christ's instructions, be a blessing to every family where there is genuine love and concern for one another. Yes, that it may flow into all of our relationships. But Father, we see the glory of the life of Christ, that our servant came. We may seek to pattern ourselves after Him, because He has given us His Spirit. And so bless us the rest of this day. May You build up Your Church, and may we as Your Church glorify You. And do that all by Your Spirit. In the name of Christ, to Your glory. Amen.